What's up, guys? Another bonus episode. This is bonus episode 04. I want to thank my buddy and fellow podcaster, Dan, from Netflix and Swill, for joining me. This week, we are counting down our top five Netflix original shows. It's good, man. There's some good recommendations on here. I hope you enjoy this bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast for our top five Netflix original shows. Enjoy. Welcome in, guys. It's another bonus episode. You can't get enough of us. I do regular episodes. I do bonus episodes. I just can't fucking stop recording stuff for you guys. I know you appreciate it. Very special bonus episode. Today, we are doing, it's our fourth bonus episode, 04, and I've got a very special guest joining me. We're doing something really fun that he is perfect for. In fact, their podcast is the reason that kind of gave me the idea to do this, so I'm glad he was able to join me. But this is Gerald from Two Peas, and let's welcome in my buddy Dan from the Netflix and Swill podcast. Dan, what's up, brother?
Hey, Gerald, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I really, really appreciate you doing this. It's short notice, too. I just talked to you yesterday, and you said, hey, man, let's do it before I take my friend to the airport. I'm there. So I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you doing that. I'm going to let you tell everyone where to find you at the end of the broadcast. But you do Netflix and Swill with your buddy Caleb, and you guys just kind of review Netflix shows and movies and sometimes shitty ones and which is kind of the fun, you know, kind of the fun part of it. And it's fun to hear you guys. I hate that you have to torture yourself through that, but it's pretty fun.
We hate that we have to do that too.
Yeah, I know, right? But you guys are all about Netflix, and I love Netflix, especially the last couple of years. I was just telling you that before we started recording, that just really turned up the heat on their shows and their original programming. So what we decided to do for this bonus episode: people are enamored with countdowns. They love countdowns. They love the best of and that kind of thing. So I have been hooked on Netflix lately. And every show I watch, I feel like, is a Netflix original in the last 1 to 2 years. So I figured what we could do, and I know you're a Netflix aficionado over there as well. You have a whole podcast devoted to it pretty much. So what we're going to do is we're going to count down the top five Netflix original television programs, Netflix original shows. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, so I know you have your list together, and I'm going to pull mine up here too, just because my memory's fucking horrible, but I have mine as well. And then I didn't tell you to do this, but I do have a few honorable mentions at the end also.
I do as well.
Yeah, just because there's so many good ones, and I can't believe one of them didn't make my list, but it didn't. But anyway, we're going to do our top five Netflix original shows, and I trust your judgment because I listen to y'all's program. Hopefully people trust my judgment.
I don't know if you should be trusting my judgment. I don't make some good calls sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what you come up with. I guess I shouldn't speak too soon. But we're just going to count down from 5 to 1, Dan, and I'm going to let you go first, brother, since you're my guest. So if you want to start us off with your number 5 Netflix original show.
Yeah. So this show is actually one of the most recent shows, and it is one of the hottest shows and probably going to be a Netflix pillar for years to come. I am talking about Ozark, starring Jason Bateman.
It's good.
This show's awesome.
It is so fucking good. Did you finish it? Have you made it through the whole?
Oh yeah. We finished the whole thing. I reviewed it on episode 50, where I gave it 3.5 stars, and that I, you know, for whatever reason, 3.5 was stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. It's a wrong number. I'm sticking with it because, you know, I'm never wrong, but the number itself is not correct.
You're never
this
wrong.
Show is awesome. Like, is this that, show is
it's great. Is that on a 5-star scale? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, it's how Netflix used to rate their stuff before it was thumbs up, thumbs down, which is dumb.
Right.
It's dumb.
Well, I love that pick. It is actually on my list as well, and I have an interesting story when it comes up on my list. You're not going to get an argument from me. I love that show. I'm actually telling everybody, and I'll just bring up Ozark in a conversation that has nothing to do with TV. I'm talking to my sister last night. We're texting about a party she's having this weekend, and just in the middle of the conversation about catering food and stuff, I'm like, Ozark, you need to watch it. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So
it has to do with anything.
You're not going to get an argument from me on that. It's a great, great program. We'll talk a little bit about it here in a second when I come up too. But my number 5 is the only comedic one on my list, which wasn't intentional. Like I said, you have to weed out. I mean, you can only do 5, and there's so many. And this is one that has had two seasons. It just actually, the second season just aired a couple months ago. And it's not one of the more popular ones. At least I don't think so. But I love it. It's a series called Love. Have you heard of Love? It has Jillian Jacobs from Community fame. She was Britta on Community.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's in my queue. I just haven't watched it. Yeah. You know, there's just so much stuff for us to watch all the time.
I know.
It's impossible to catch up once you fall behind.
I know. And, you know, I try to jump on the 30-minute ones because I feel like I can get through those a little bit quicker. Yeah, I can watch more of them, you know, and get through it. But I started watching this one. I saw, like, you know, a trailer for it. And I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. But it's like it takes place in L.A. And, you know, it's just like a hipster kind of love story. And she's kind of a troubled lady, and he, and the main character, his name is Gus on the show. He's kind of like a nerdy, he works on television programs out there in LA, and she's on the radio, and they kind of hook up, and this is just kind of their complicated love story, but it's really funny. The characters are really, I mean, you really relate to them, and it's a good program. I definitely recommend you checking it out, but Love is my number 5 Netflix original show.
Nice.
Which throws us over to you, man. So what's your number 4 there, Dan?
All right. Well, similar to you, I only have one comedy on my list as well. And being that myself and my co-host are two extremely cynical people, this show is perfect for us. It's a comedy while also being kind of an extreme downer. Like, some of the episodes are just difficult to get through. There's an episode where and I'll just actually say what the show is before I start getting into actual moments, but it is BoJack Horseman, the Will Arnett animated comedy.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that, and I haven't watched it yet, and it popped up when I did a search for, you know, Netflix originals. I guess it's one of the most popular, one of the most watched.
Season 4 comes out next month, and we're very excited for it, because actually one of our sound bites comes from BoJack Horseman.
Okay.
But you know, it's an extremely depressing show while also being a comedy, because it's about this horse who was in an 80s sitcom called Horsin' Around, and it brings it to today, where he's, you know, a much older, you know, out of the limelight star in Hollywood, or Hollywoo as they call it in the show. And it's just following him trying to, you know, make it, trying to live his life and trying not to be a complete asshole the whole time.
Right. So it's just kind of like a has-been that's trying to fit in several years later or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds cool. Like I said, I saw some great reviews on it when I was Googling yesterday, and I had heard it, but I don't know. It never was on my radar. So I think I'm going to add it to my queue, especially now that you recommend it. But yeah. Okay. So good choice there. And that's animated, right? That's an animated series?
Yeah. And like I said, it stars Will Arnett, who's basically become Mr. Netflix. Like, he's in almost everything Netflix at this point. It's ridiculous.
Love him.
Like, they just had an April Fool's Day thing where it's Will Arnett narrating random stupid stuff that's happening on screen.
I want to say, did I hear about that on y'all show? I feel like I heard about that. Yeah. I heard you guys talking about that. I thought that was hilarious when I heard that. I love him, obviously, on Arrested Development. That's, I mean, he's great on that. So, yeah, he's a great actor. I love Will Arnett, and I think I'm going to check out BoJack Horseman. So that's your number 4. My number 4 is one that you've already mentioned, and it's Ozark. And nice. Jason Bateman, also Arrested Development. Hey, we're just talking about that. I guess here's the connection for Arrested Development. But, it's also a very kind of dark, gritty series. One of the reasons I love it so much is because I didn't expect to love it as much as I did when I watched it. You know, I always like when a show takes me by surprise, when I'm like, I'm going to give it a chance, and then it like fucking blows me away. You know, that's what I liked about it. And it's very, very similar to like the Breaking Bad kind of feel, which was one of my favorite shows of all time. Probably my second favorite show of all time next to Sopranos. So anything that reminds me of Breaking Bad, you sold me. I'm in. I'll watch it till it's off the air. So hopefully it gets renewed. They just did the first season. But what's interesting is Ozark made my list at number 4, and I'm not even done with it yet. That's how much I love it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have 2 episodes left, and my wife and I are hopefully going to finish it, actually, maybe tonight. But yeah, I've made it through the first 8, and every episode seems to be better than the one before, and the tension is increasing, and Jason Bateman is awesome in it. The actors that play his kids are great in it. it's just a great kind of family. I mean, it's a family drama, but it's a dysfunctional family drama. And I'm really into it. It's one of my favorite shows right now. So yeah. Much like you, Ozark is on my list at number four, which brings us to your number three, Dan.
All right. My number three, I'd be remiss as a member and a host of Netflix and Swill to not mention the show. This is the show that we champion the most. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it was just canceled this year.
Ooh.
And I'm, of course, talking about The Get Down.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't seen it. I didn't see it.
Yeah. And that's the problem. Not many people have. And I'm not blaming anybody in particular. But this show is show run by Baz Luhrmann. So that's a big reason why a lot of people didn't see this is because Baz Luhrmann has a particular style that not many people care for.
Right.
And, being a person that hasn't seen very many Baz Luhrmann movies, I don't know that style. So seeing this kind of over-the-top retelling of the birth of hip-hop in Brooklyn in the 1970s, awesome. Just awesome for me.
No, it's an awesome premise. I want to say my daughter said she watched it and enjoyed it. It was just one season?
Yes, it's one season. It was broken up into two parts. I mean, the other problem with this show was that production was hell. Like it originally had a $90 million budget, and then that went all the way up to $120 million because production, like, I don't know what happened, but there was just production issues everywhere. So that's another reason why it got canceled, is because it was just so expensive. Production was hell.
Okay.
For a show of this kind of quality, it just didn't work out because of several factors. So, I love this show. I love this show. And I told everybody I could to watch this show to try to get people to watch it so it wouldn't get canceled, so I get more seasons.
Right.
Not enough people listened.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
it's always such a sad thing for the fan bases when shows get canceled. I'm not talking about just Netflix, just period in the history of TV. You know, it's always such a downer moment, like, because you're so into it, but for whatever reason, the masses aren't into it, and it's like you know how great it is, but you just can't, you know, convince obviously 10 million people to watch it. So
yeah.
You know, so you know what? My number three mirrors the same situation you went through. I came into, I was late to the party. I want to say the first season of this show came out in 2015, I believe. Mm-hmm. The second season just came out this year, and then they announced they were going to cancel it. So it has been canceled.
Oh, I know. Oh, no.
But
we're going to get into this one. Jesus.
Yeah, I'll tell you the show, and then I'll tell you a cool fact about it. But my number three is Sense8. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sense8, and if you don't like it, that's fine. I know it's kind of a niche show, but ironically, my daughter got me into it. She's 16, and she binged it and watched all two seasons in like a week. she said it was fucking amazing, and I'm like, all right, I can't really do another show, but I started watching it. It's one of those shows that really just punches you in the gut in the first episode, so it's almost like it's forcing you to find out what happens. The second season got a little convoluted with some of the storylines and some of the you never knew who was a Sense8 and who was real in the second season. It was kind of mixing reality and what was going on in their mind. I'm not sure if you know the premise of the show, but there's eight people that can basically travel in and out of each other's mind space. And in the second season, they discover that there's a lot more people like that, not just the eight of them. And they start kind of free flowing in between each other's mind space and stuff. But it's a sci-fi series. There's a lot of action in it. I love a ton of the actors that they cast for this role that honestly, I'd never seen any of them before. Probably I would say six out of the eight that the main characters, I absolutely am just enamored with their stories, which is weird because when you have a series, you know, typically you're into like the main character or maybe a couple of the characters or the main characters, but rarely are you into like six or seven characters and you care about all of them equally.
Right.
And they all really do have kind of different storylines. They come together, you know, because of their connection, but they're in different parts of the world. They have different storylines. And I think it's a great show. It's a very LGBT-friendly show. There's a lot of gay characters, a lot of gay relationships. And like I said, a lot of action in the show, a lot of sci-fi. And it's one of those shows you really have to pay attention to, but I really, really enjoyed it. I'm going to let you give your opinion on Sense8, but the one thing I wanted to mention is there was a huge backlash when it got canceled.
Oh, my God. That was all we could talk about for like a month.
Yeah.
And it actually hit the point where I went, all right, we're done. Any new news on Sense8, I'm just not talking about. And I actually said that on the show.
Yeah. Did you watch, the show?
Yeah, and then a week later they announced the movie, and I'm just like, well, shit.
Yep,
now I have to talk about this show again.
There you go. That's what I was going to tell you. So did you watch Sense8? Have you seen any of the episodes?
No. Caleb was actually, Caleb is our basically our guinea pig. You know, he drinks the worst of the worst alcohol, and then he'll watch shows that just – for whatever reason, we haven't checked out. So he actually checked out the first episode of Sense8 and just ripped it a new one. He hated the first episode of Sense8.
Right. Well, and it is an acquired thing, brother. You know, the first, I would say, not the first episode total, but like the first 15 to 20 minutes, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, like my daughter recommended it, so I want to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was watching it with me and she seemed kind of into it. So I'm like, which is always good when you have somebody to watch it with you. But we stuck with it luckily. And I will tell you that, you know, it's the Wachowski brothers, which obviously are famous for The Matrix as well. So, you know, they're the creators, they're the writers. They direct a lot of the episodes. So I love The Matrix and that kind of sci-fi reality that they created with that. And there's hints of that in here, as opposed to being a computer program, it's in your actual brain. But, you can kind of see the, influence of The Matrix in there a little bit, but, you know, I would tell Caleb to give it a second shot, maybe watch a second and third episode and then see what he thinks. But I could see him saying that because you know what Netflix did here, or Sense8 did here, is they said, we're going to give you the worst of the worst of this show in episode one, like as fucking crazy as it's going to get in episode one. And then if you stick with it, you'll get the payoff. And I think that's kind of what they did. And I stuck with it, where it sounds like maybe Caleb didn't. So you can kind of see both sides of it. I didn't mean to get off on a Sense8 tant, but
tangent,
but it was actually my number one when I made my list originally.
And
and then I bumped it back. I mean, it was a great, I loved it. It was a great show from beginning to end. So,
yeah, I don't know. I never really heard anybody talk about this show until after it was canceled.
Yeah.
So that tells me everything I needed to know about the show, like in my head, because I don't know, like, not to be on like a super high horse here, but like I was talking about, like we were talking about The Get Down for months. Like we were telling almost every week about a few months, we were telling everyone, watch The Get Down, watch The Get Down. And, you know, it got to the point where people started getting annoyed with us telling them to watch The Get Down.
Yeah.
And like, and with Sense8, I never heard anybody say anything about this show until after it got canceled.
That's the same with me. Now, my daughter binged it, and it was before they announced the cancellation. So with the exception of her, and that's one person that's in my family, I didn't hear anything about it really online. I mean, you know, I would see articles occasionally, but I didn't focus on them because I didn't know what it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're right. The outcry was huge when it got canceled. And then in response to that, they did the 2-hour film that's going to come out next year, which I'm excited about because I watched the whole series, and they do kind of leave it on a cliffhanger. So spoiler alert. So I'm glad they're doing the movie to kind of wrap it up. But I see what you're saying there. It's like, it's almost like you would have heard about it if it was such a great show. I get what you're saying.
And not only that, but it also had a $90 million production budget, and that's because they always shot on location. Yeah. So like they would fly to Korea or fly to Japan or wherever the show was taking place and actually shoot there.
Yep.
And it's just like, well, if you're doing that, like if you're spending $90 million on this show, you're like, it has to be good. It has to be good.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I understand, like, not everyone loves The Get Down like I do. That's why I understand it got canceled at $120 million a season. Like that's a ridiculous price tag for no one to like it.
Right. You gotta,
$90 million is the same thing.
Yeah, people gotta watch it, people gotta purchase it. I mean, yeah, you're right. You know, it did help Sense8 though, I'll tell you that. I mean, they, like I said, it's 8 different people in 8 different countries. There's 2 in America, 1 in Chicago and 1 in San Francisco, but aside from that, the other 6 are in different countries. You know, Hong Kong, Zimbabwe, I mean, they're all over the world. And, and like you said, they're filming them on location. And I had read that's why they had to cancel it, because they just couldn't afford to keep doing that. But yeah, Sun Park from Hong Kong. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. She's one of the best like protagonists in the show. I mean, she is just fucking awesome. She's like a kung fu bitch who goes to prison wrongfully, and then kind of with the help of her sensei, she's able to kind of right her wrongs, or she, at least she's trying to. I'm trying not to give away any spoilers, but she's my favorite character. But yeah, Sense8's my number three, and I'm sorry we spent so much time on a show that you haven't even seen. I apologize.
No, it's okay. But we have opinions on a show I haven't seen. It's okay.
Yeah. But we can shoot over to you. I think, what are we up to? You're number two, right? What's your number two there? What's your number two there, Dan?
All right, so my number two is the only Marvel Netflix show on my list. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, it is this high. Mm-hmm. And I am talking about Daredevil.
That's my honorable mention. One of my honorable mentions.
Daredevil season one was such a game changer for Netflix and Marvel, because I was just like, man, I don't really care about some of these characters they're putting out. Like, Thor's okay. I think Thor overall in general is lame. Doctor Strange hadn't come out, but we had like Ant-Man, we have Doctor Strange coming. It's just like, I don't care about these characters. And then there's Daredevil, who everyone remembers the Ben Affleck movie, and they're just like, oh god.
Yeah, what could please, we do to fucking erase that memory? Yeah.
Yeah, please just do better than that. And they did. Like, the great. First season was awesome.
It was great, yeah. And that's the only Marvel series that I've watched too. I want to see Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, but I have not done so yet.
I would recommend all four.
Yeah.
But I understand why people dislike Iron Fist. I really do. The character, and I know what they're doing with the character. They're trying to make him seem like an altruistic douchebag who, you know, thinks he's stronger than he is, but he's actually, you know, terrible at what he does. And I really like the superhero that thinks he's good, but is actually terrible, because we also got that in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Like, I can see a lot of Spider-Man in the Iron Fist. And now they made the Iron Fist way more insufferable, just because of, you know, him being like a hippie kind of guy that just is like, I have no idea how business works, but here's how business is going to work. And it's just like, no, that's not how that works. But I recommend Iron Fist just because of like the fight choreography. Like, everyone complains like, oh man, there's so many cuts during all these fights. And I'm just like, not everything can be John Wick. Like, John Wick's cool that it doesn't do cuts during the fight scenes, but not everything can do that.
Did you ever watch, or I know it's not Netflix, but did you ever get into Supergirl or Gotham or any of those shows that are comic book based?
I watched one episode of Arrow and I just went, nope, this show just isn't for me.
Gotcha.
I don't know what it was about Arrow, just didn't get into it. And from that point, I was just like, I'm not watching any of the CW shows.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but terrible things from the Epic Film guys about Gotham. So yeah, I refuse to watch that show.
I only watched the first few episodes of Gotham, but I felt the same way. I just kind of gave up on it. I don't know. Yeah. I guess I was a little impatient because I heard it did get better, but I don't have the gumption to go back and, you know, watch it.
Well, everyone's time is valuable anymore. Like, if you think about it, there's so much stuff to watch. That if something doesn't grab you immediately, like with like going back to Sense8 really quick, but like if something doesn't grab you immediately, you're kind of struggling to find ways to stick with it when there's other stuff that you could be watching.
Right. No, I feel you. Okay, man. Well, that's good. Daredevil was one of my honorable mentions. So
yeah, and I'm neglecting to mention season two.
Yes.
When the Punisher is on screen.
Yes.
And there's four episodes at the beginning where season two, where it's just the Punisher. It's almost better than my number one. Like, though, like the moments with the Punisher are almost better than my number one show.
I got you.
It's and then Elektra shows up, and I am well documented hater of Elektra.
Really? Like, just the character in general, or you mean
character
on that show?
In general.
Oh, okay.
In general. Because, and even the characterization in the show, because all she does is just distract. And it's just like, I don't care what you're doing. I want to watch Daredevil do stuff. Like, stop distracting him from doing stuff.
What's cool, and Daredevil, in my opinion, is the best. Of course, there's a couple series I haven't seen yet, aside from just clips and trailers and things like that. But, you know, what's cool, I feel like, in a show like Daredevil, especially on Netflix, where they have liberty for, you know, violence and profanity and all that type of thing. Or if HBO were to do one, for example, is that you can really kind of what's the description I'm looking for here? So if you have a 2-hour film and then you put that next to like the Daredevil series, for example, that's 10 or 12 episodes, I feel like the TV show can play out more on screen like an actual comic book.
Yes.
Whereas in the movie, you're trying to jam as much of the highlights, if you will, into 2 hours. So I like that, you know, Netflix with Daredevil is able to kind of tell the story. It's almost like you're flipping through the comic as you're watching the show, if that makes sense. I don't know if that
makes sense. Yeah, perfectly.
Okay, cool. All right. So my number, what are we doing? I'm on my number two, right? Okay.
Yes, you're on number two.
So my number two could have very easily been my number one, and my number one could have very easily been my number two. These are basically tied for first. I love both of these shows. They're very, very different shows. But my number two is probably going to be unpopular that I put it in this order, actually. But my number two is Stranger Things.
Okay.
And Stranger Things is... I've talked about it on our show before. I don't know if you've heard, but it basically mixes 80s and horror, which, I mean, those are two of my favorite things of all time. So anything 80s, like a period piece from the 80s, I'm fucking in. I will give it a shot, whether it's comedy or suspense or whatever it is. I love 80s music. I love 80s TV shows, movies, so on and so forth. So the nostalgia is there for me. I saw the trailer for Stranger Things 2, and I haven't been that excited in a year, probably, when I fucking saw that with the Michael Jackson Thriller music in there, and the kids in the Ghostbusters costumes on Halloween, and obviously Eleven's coming back. They kind of reveal that at the end of the trailer. Just just a great show, and kind of like what you said earlier about changing the game, I feel like Stranger Things is kind of turned the... kind of suspense thriller show on its head a little bit, and you can kind of see shows trying to copy it and do things that Stranger Things was able to accomplish. But I love that show. Like I said, it could have very easily been my number one, but that is my number two, is Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's an honorable mention for me. I don't have that kind of 80s nostalgia that a lot of people have. I only started watching recently 80s movies, like The Thing. I actually just saw a few months ago for the first time, which has become one of my favorites ever, just because of like the practical effects and stuff like that. So Stranger Things doesn't resonate for me on the same level that it does for others. I still recognize its quality and the impossible thing that it did, which is make child actors not insufferable. I just watched E.T. for the first time in years, and oh my God, it's insufferable to watch because those child actors are just so annoying.
Yeah.
And in this, it's, oh, these kids actually know how to act. They know how to behave like kids, and they're not doing it in an extremely whiny voice. I can watch this. Okay, good.
Yeah. And I'm a sci-fi junkie, you know, and you're right. It's a little bit, I remember when the show first came out, before it like blew up and everybody and their mother saw it, but when I was recommending it to folks, I was like, you know, it's kind of like the Goonies meets X-Files. You know, it's very, very sci-fi. But I don't know. Did you ever see the Spielberg produced film, J.J. Abrams, Super 8? Did you ever see that?
No, I hadn't.
I actually love that movie. It didn't get a lot of notoriety, but that was a great film that came out like 5 or 6 years ago. You should check it out, Super 8. But it's kind of like a television show version of that movie. And that was Spielberg and J.J. Abrams, so it's really good. But you know, I love Stranger Things. I'm surprised it's not on your list, honestly. But then again, like you said, I mean, if you don't have that nostalgia connection to it, I could kind of see why. Well, let's do your number one, man. Are you excited? What do you got? I want to hear what the numero uno Netflix original show is from Dan from Netflix and Swill. I can't wait.
Well, this is not a surprise to anybody who listens to our show. We actually did retrospective episodes on each season because I needed we needed to binge through all of them until season 5 hit. Learned very quickly that no one cares about retrospective episodes, so that's never happening again. But
yes,
what I'm talking about, of course, is House of Cards. Like, this is the Netflix show.
Honorable mention for me, and you're right, it's fucking amazing. Go ahead and talk about it, and then I'll tell you why I didn't make my list. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a show I'd always heard about, you know, and being that I had no real reason to watch it before our show came out, I never checked it out because I was just too busy doing other stuff. And then when I started doing the show, I was like, all right, I got to watch the Netflix show. This is the show that everyone talks about. I mean, it's up there with like Orange is the New Black, Stranger Things Now, hopefully Ozark in the future.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away with, you know, just from the first shot of the dog getting hit in the street and Frank giving it a mercy killing. Like, he has no use for the weak.
Right.
And that theme just carries through the entire series. It's just awesome.
Yeah, it's a great show. The acting is fucking phenomenal on that show. David Fincher is involved in that program. He's one of my favorite filmmakers, so you can see that in a lot of the cinematography. Just a great show about political corruption. The reason I couldn't put it on my top five and I didn't want to kind of be fake is because I've only seen the first season. So me and my wife liked it a lot, but we, you know, it's in our queue and it's just one of those things where we started watching other shows and, you know, it's kind of fallen back a little bit in terms of priority, but we did like the first season a whole lot. I just didn't want to put it on my list because it's been four, right? How many seasons?
There are five now. There are 65 episodes to the show and that is a lot. That's a lot of time you're sinking in.
Yeah. You see what I mean? And I know this might be a spoiler alert, but I don't care. Is Rooney Mara still on there or Kate Mara? Which one is the journalist from the first season? Was it Kate Mara or Rooney Mara?
Yeah, it's Kate.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She shows up every now and then.
Okay, because I love
she'll
her.
She'll show up like sporadically.
I love her character in the first season. She was great.
I won't give anything away.
You don't have to give any spoilers. I was just curious because she was one of my favorite characters, and then obviously Frank, you know, Kevin Spacey, maybe the role of his career, honestly.
Definitely. This is also the show that got Robin Wright back into the Hollywood limelight because because remember she was Princess Buttercup, in Princess Bride,
of course,
and then I saw her in Unbreakable. And then I didn't really see any movie she was in until Wonder Woman. She just kind of like fell off a cliff.
That's a good point.
And then House of Cards was there. And then from House of Cards, she moved into bigger roles.
Great casting. I mean, great casting. Mm-hmm. The whole cast is great. I mean, again, I've only seen the first season, but I was enamored with it. I loved it. So I got no problem with that. I know that's a popular pick as well for Netflix watchers. So House of Cards is your number one, brother. And my number one show did not make your list. Another one that's not like super, super popular, kind of like we talked about with Sense8. It's like it has kind of a cult following, but it's not necessarily the top of the list if you do a search on Google or whatever. But I absolutely love it. And I think you can see a pattern in my top five, with the exception of the comedic one that I had at the beginning. But I love sci-fi. I love science fiction. I love horror. I love thriller. You know, all that stuff for me is like fun to watch. You know, I like to watch drama too, don't get me wrong, but it's almost like work sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you have to really, if you go to the bathroom and come back, you might be fucked, you know.
Right.
But my number one show is Black Mirror. Did you ever check out Black Mirror? You okay?
I have, and I haven't gotten to the Netflix portion of it yet. This would actually be on my list, most likely, if like the first two seasons were Netflix originals. Unfortunately, Netflix only picked up streaming rights for season three. It wasn't on my list because of that.
Gotcha. See, so I could do. So I guess Stranger Things would be my number one then if this is cheating. But
no.
But Black Mirror, just, I mean, you know, it's kind of like everybody compares it to the Twilight Zone. So, you know, each episode is a one-off. So each episode's different. None of the characters are ever connected. The casts are always different. And, you know, in other words, you could come in and watch episode four, an episode, and watch episode one. I mean, you don't have to watch them in order. There's no connection at all to the episodes. Mm-hmm. But they're all rooted in some reality in the future. They never really tell you what year it is, but every episode seems to be taking place at some point in the future, whether it's 5 years from now or 100 years from now.
Right.
And it all centers around what's going to be happening at that time in humanity, in our lives. And there's a lot of social messages in the show. You know, there's one episode with Bryce Dallas Howard that was one of my favorites, where all of society runs on the number of likes you get on social media. That's like currency. So if people like your pictures, it's like basically you're getting money. Whereas if they don't, then you fall down in society and the class system, you know, things like that. So there's one where, you know, a guy does testing for a video game and he enters an alternate reality where he doesn't know what's real and what's not. And, you know, is he able to die in the video game and so on and so forth. And it mixes sci-fi and horror really well. But a lot of social messages, a lot of sci-fi, a lot of horror. And the characters are great. They get some big actors to do. John Hamm was in one. I just mentioned Bryce Dallas Howard. Who was Agent Carter? Haley Atwell.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah, it was in one.
I think Robert Downey Jr. I could be wrong. I know he, in one of the episodes of season two, he has like the film rights to be able to do one of those.
Oh, okay.
And it's the one where the wife is cheating on the husband. So he like uses like everyone has a camera implanted in their eye.
Yes.
So he's using like all this film in his head to be able to figure out who his wife's cheating on him.
Yep. It's called The Entire History of You. That's a good one.
That's the one Robert Downey Jr. has. But the Haley Atwell, it also stars Domhnall Gleeson, who like it's ridiculous. The show, like the people the show is able to pull in, mm-hmm. you know, you said with John Hamm, Bryce Dallas Howard, like these people are all big in Hollywood right now.
Right, right. No, it's a great show. Have you made it through all of it or not yet?
No, like I said, I only got to the end of season two, so I have seen the John Hamm episode. I haven't seen the Bryce Dallas Howard episode That's or great. Anything past that.
That's great.
The actual Netflix stuff, but I do want to. It's just, you know, once again, with all of our busy schedule, it's just trying to find the time to watch Black Mirror.
The one with Hayley Atwell is probably my favorite one. It kind of creeped me out the most. That's probably my favorite one. And then I really like one called San Junipero. So if you're looking up, that's kind of a dramatic one, but it's a love story where it's two lesbian lovers and the two women fall in love, but it's like a time travel episode. And then you kind of there's a huge plot twist at the end. But it appears throughout the episode that one of them is basically going back in time to the 80s. So here we go again. So anything in the 80s, I'm like, all right, you're good.
Yeah.
But is going back in the 80s to basically, you know, have rendezvous with her lover. And then there's a huge plot twist at the very end. I don't know if you saw that episode, but that's probably my favorite of the whole series thus far. But OK, Black Mirror. So recap your top five real quick, because I didn't write them down. I apologize.
No, that's fine. Number five, Ozark. Number four, BoJack Horseman. Number three, The Get Down. Number two, Daredevil. And number one, House of Cards.
Awesome. And my top five was Love, Ozark, Sense8, Stranger Things, and Black Mirror, which I think Dan's mad at me because I may have cheated a little bit.
No. I totally understand that. When I think Netflix original, I think exclusively Netflix.
No, you're right.
It's only
been
on Netflix. So that's why you don't see Arrested Development on my list or stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right. You know, yeah, that's funny that you said that because I actually wanted to put Arrested Development. I'm like, I can't do that. So I didn't think about it for Black Mirror, but you're right. So do you have any honorable mentions that either of us did not mention today you want to give a shout out to?
Yes, and you might be into this because it's a sci-fi thriller. It is called Glitch. It's an Australian show. Now, it's not necessarily a Netflix original because it was produced, I think, for the Australian Broadcasting Company. I could be wrong about that. But everywhere else, Netflix has streaming rights for it, and Netflix will be doing season two. Like, they're going to be part of producing season two, so they're going to have a hand in this.
Okay.
But it is about this town, this small town in Australia, where six people come back to life fully formed. Like they dig themselves out of their graves, come back to life, and they're all from all different time periods. And one of the women is actually the main character. He's a police officer. It's actually his former wife or fiance. And we've only gotten one season of it so far, but I was so hooked. Like it had just such a Lost feel to it. And I loved Lost for a long time before the writer's strike happened and I fell out of watching television. It just had such a Lost feel that I just got into it. So if anybody likes Lost, you probably will also like Glitch.
Okay. Sounds good, man. Honorable mentions for me. You mentioned a couple of them, obviously House of Cards and Daredevil. And then the other ones that I don't think we mentioned that I personally enjoy, just didn't make my top five, though, are Orange is the New Black and 13 Reasons Why, which is only had one season, but I really enjoyed it. I don't know anything I can have. Do you have kids, Dan? You have kids?
No.
Yeah. You know, my daughter's 16, like I said, and then I have a 4-year-old son. So obviously he didn't watch this, but my daughter did. But what I was going to say, anything I can have like a connection with my kids on always seemed to kind of speak to me.
Right.
Because I'm able to kind of share it with her and, you know, oh, did you see episode two? And like, you know, what do you think about this character? And can you believe Hannah did that? And, you know, so on and so forth. So on top of that, it was well produced and it was a great show. And it had a powerful message about, you know, teen suicide and that kind of thing, which caused, I'm sure you know, covering Netflix, but caused a pretty big controversy about 6 months ago. But you know, it's I look at it on the optimistic side, on the positive side, where that they're kind of bringing awareness to that issue as opposed to glorifying the issue. That's my personal view on it. Did you watch 13 Reasons Why? Did you or Caleb watch that one?
No, we haven't gotten a chance yet. To be honest, when we saw this on the list, it was just like, all right, there's no way this is going to be a big show. Like I haven't heard any buzz about this show at all. So let's just skip it and move on to other stuff.
Right.
And now we're kind of kicking ourselves because it's like, oh, this is one of Netflix's biggest shows.
Yeah, flagship. And, yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it's a niche demographic too. My wife did watch it with me, but it, I mean, it's definitely a niche demographic. I would say, mm-hmm. you know, 15 to 25 year olds probably is what they're really shooting for there. But hey, you know, the parents are great in it because there's obviously adult actors in it as well. And, you know, some great characters. I mean, it's a good show. I mean, it's hard to watch at times. I will tell you that, especially if you have teenage kids, which I happen to have a teenage daughter. But,
right.
you know, there's parts of it that are hard to watch where you sit as a parent and you go, does this shit really happen? Well, you know, I need to talk to my daughter here. But,
yeah,
you know, with if that's the case, you know, the reality kind of brings a little bit more to it, too. So I would recommend it. But, you know, just be warned, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, it's you know. On my list. Like there like a lot of stuff's on my list. Like Orange is the New Black is also on my list, but it's so deep now. It's also, I think it's also 5 seasons now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know if I can ever get through that to actually catch up.
That's the thing, man. It's like when you let it escape you, it's just like, ah, shit. The last honorable mention I just wanted to throw a little shout out to, because it's just a kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. I really enjoyed it. My wife and I binged it. It's only one season, but we banged it out in like 3 or 4 days. It's only a 30-minute show, so it was easier to do that. But Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant. It's just a very kind of unique spin on, I guess, what would be like zombie, kind of like a zombie genre, but it's a comedy. And love both those actors, which is what made me watch it to begin with. And then the two teenagers that are casting it as the children, I love them too. When I watched it, I didn't know them prior to watching it, but Santa Clarita Diet is a lot of fun. I mean, it's gross because she's a flesh eating zombie, but they bring a comedic kind of spin to it. So
it's unfortunate. I haven't heard anything about a season 2 for that yet.
I haven't either.
It was left on a cliffhanger.
Yep.
So it was just like,
yep.
I hope there's a season 2. Like, I think they were trying to force Netflix's hand into this, and we both loved that. Like, we both really liked this show.
Yeah, that was
so
great.
I mean, I'm hoping for it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, stupid fun, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, just kind of, it was almost like it was poking fun at itself and poking fun at the zombie, kind of like, you know, flesh-eating zombie genre or whatever. And I enjoyed it, and I love the actors. I love Timothy Oliphant. He's kind of out of his element here. He's kind of like a family man. You know, I'm used to seeing him in like Deadwood and Justified and that kind of thing. So, But yeah, I really liked Santa Clarita Diet too. So listen, Dan, I really want to thank you for being here, man. That I hope everyone enjoyed it. That was our top 5 Netflix original shows, with the exception of me, because season 1 of Black Mirror was not, but I apologize. But I love all mine. I love yours. You've actually got me wanting to watch a couple, including The Get Down. So, hey, you may have flipped a guy here. So that's good for you.
Hopefully we can get those numbers up. Netflix will be like, what just happened here?
Oh my God.
Who's going out there and doing this?
One more dude watched. Oh my God. We got to bring it back. All right, Dan, I got some mood music for us, brother. Why don't you tell everybody where to find you and Caleb there online, my friend?
All right. Well, you can find us at Netflix and Swill. That is the letter N instead of and. Someone already had and Swill. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, what can you do? We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, I can't remember, Podbean, TuneIn Radio. We have a YouTube channel that just basically posts our episodes too. We're thinking about branching out into other stuff because we've been on Epic Film Guys so much that it's like, we should just do our own movie reviews. Who knows? We're also on Stitcher, but there's something up with Stitcher right now. I don't know what's going on. Like it's only back to episode 45. We're coming up on to episode 52, so it'll almost be a year for Netflix and Swill. You'll almost certainly not hear me say anything about episode 52 on it being a year on episode 52.
I assume you're being sarcastic. That's a good
no. We both talked about it. Like, yeah, we know a year's coming up, and it's just like, whatever. Like, it's just going to be another show.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool, too. You know, just keep doing what you do. It's like, whatever. I'll probably freak out just because I didn't think I was going to be able to do it that long. So I'll probably be like, oh, my God, I got to fucking celebrate. But, you know.
We got the Podbean space. We did that. We did the whole year. Like, so we paid up the whole year up front. So it's like, well, we definitely have to do at least a year, and we'll kind of reevaluate from there.
Yeah, well, I think you guys are doing great. I hope you continue it for sure. I mean, I definitely listen all the time, and I got to go back and listen to a couple episodes I didn't realize that you had reviewed. So you mentioned them today. I'm going to go back and download them and check them out. But I appreciate you being here, Dan, from Netflix and Swill. Give my best to Caleb, too. You guys keep doing what you do. Don't get too drunk over there. And let me know if you guys finish Sense8, too. I'll definitely listen. You'll have one listener for that show, I know. That's it for Two Peas on a Podcast, bonus episode number 4. I want to thank Dan from Netflix and Swill. And we'll see you on the flip side, brother. Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.